full promise for those who can take a hold of it. Let's just pray for God's word this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, this morning again we ask that you would speak to us, Lord. We want to get our eyes fixed, as Rocky was saying earlier, we want to get our eyes fixed on you. There's enough going on around us to get us to be discouraged and worried and full of anxieties and fears. But Lord, we want to get our eyes fixed on you. We want to hear what you're saying to us this morning. And we want to trust you, Lord, please. Father, we always know that you are a good God. And that you, Lord God, and your plans for us always ultimately are for the good. Help us to have faith in you, please. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm reading over, some of the stuff this morning that I'd mentioned last week, because I want to drive home one point from that this week. And hopefully we're moving on into the next part of the series, which is the justification of the sinner. And we'll be some weeks on that as well. But if Christians fail to grasp the truth of the justification of the sinner through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, by grace alone, they may experience what I was calling schizophrenic Christian syndrome. And I emphasize that that's not about making light of people who suffer from schizophrenia. It is a similar type thing. Although the Apostle Paul says, those who put their faith in Jesus. Now you all here say, that's me. Those who put their faith in Jesus, Paul says, have been justified. They have peace with God, have access into God's grace, and have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. For those who fail to comprehend this truth, schizophrenic Christian syndrome may cause them to experience the following symptoms. Hearing or seeing things that aren't there. For example, a God who doesn't love us. That I'm not really saved. They'll hear these voices. God doesn't really love me. I'm not really saved. They will feel that they're being watched over by an angry God who is fed up to the back teeth with their sin. They will have weird or irrational ways of speaking. Oh, if I was really born again, I wouldn't do these things. They may even experience a change in their personality, because as they struggle with trying to make themselves holy, and you cannot manufacture holiness, but as you try to do that and you feel miserably every single time, you become then depressed and despondent and your whole personality changes. They may experience or present with inappropriate or bizarre behaviors. And what they can do then as a result of struggling with this issue, they start messing about with sin. So they'll have the wee secret drink. They'll take these things. They'll do all of these things because they're toying with sin. And they will give in so easily and so readily to temptation because they just think, well, I can't do anymore. I give up. And then what they do to justify that is they blame God. This is all your fault, God, because you haven't set me free. And then there is a preoccupation with religion. And what people do is they put on these masks and these personas, and they change their relationship with God for a legalistic religion. They will come to church still, very much putting their hands up, worshiping God, but something's dead inside. It's not the same. There's no life there anymore. And yet in Romans 7, Paul gives insight into this disorder when he speaks of him, this is the Apostle Paul, not understanding why he does the things he does, saying that the very things that he wants to do, he doesn't do. But the things that he doesn't want to do, these he does. This is the Apostle Paul writing this for our instruction, being influenced by the Holy Spirit to put this down for our instruction. And here's what he says. The good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I do. And although he delights in the law of God, Paul says there's a war going on inside of me, seeking to take me captive. And this is where schizophrenic Christian syndrome can take hold of a born-again Christian who doesn't grasp the truth of this essential doctrine. Paul knew the truth of this essential doctrine, and he has recorded it for us so that we can grasp it too. And if we don't grasp it, schizophrenic Christian syndrome can take a hold of us, and it may cause us to experience some of the symptoms that I've just mentioned. Well, is there a cure? for this? Well, Paul tells us yes. He says, oh, I thank God, yes, there is, through Jesus Christ our Lord. By faith alone, in Jesus alone, a sinner is justified and declared righteous by God. Martin Luther said, to prevent or to protect against schizophrenic Christian syndrome, we must understand sinners are simul justus et peccator, at the same time just and sinner. And that is so important. If you don't recognize that you are not going to be perfect this side of heaven, if you don't recognize that there's always going to be sin at work within you, if you don't recognize that there is a battle going on inside of you, you're going to suffer from schizophrenic Christian syndrome. And the whole thing will mar your walk with God. You need to understand that you are simul justus et peccator, at the same time just and sinner. And what this means is the born again Christian is justified and declared righteous, while at the same time sinful. Always completely righteous and sinful at the same time. On earth, born again Christians will always be sinners. Don't fool yourself into thinking you're ever going to reach sinless perfection. It's not going to happen. I remember hearing a story, and I don't know whether it was Spurgeon or one of the other greats, where a person came up to him and said to him, I just want you to know, Mr. Spurgeon, that I haven't sinned for 15 years. And Spurgeon just brought his heel right down onto your man's foot, and he went, fuck! He says, well, you certainly have now. He ain't going to reach sinless perfection, because something's going to come into your life like a big heel onto your foot that's going to make you come out with an expletive that says, well, you're not reaching sinless perfection today. The born again Christian will always be a sinner, living in a sin-cursed body in a sin-cursed world, while at the same time we're justified and righteous in the eyes of God. And that is the only thing that matters. Because Paul also writes in the same thing, if God is for us, who can be against us? In other words, what he said, I don't care who else is against me as long as God is for me. And he is telling us that the person who has put their trust in Jesus and in Jesus alone is justified and declared righteous by God. And what God says is the only thing that counts. Born again Christians will always battle against sin that wars in our flesh. But no matter how often, please get this into your head, no matter how often we fall under temptation and the power of sin, we will always be justified and righteous in God's sight. Simul justus et peccator, at the same time just and sinner. To gain victory over temptations and sin that war within us, we must humbly yield to the Lord and let his Holy Spirit transform us to make us more like Jesus. So when you know when you sin and you know that you've willfully sinned and you feel really terrible for having done so, what the Apostle Paul is teaching us is, don't listen to the lies of the flesh. Don't listen to the lies of the devil. Don't listen to the lies of the world. Listen to what God says. You will still be justified and declared righteous in his sight. And he's saying, come in and talk to me about this. Come in and speak to me. Come in and yield this before me. And in his time, he will deal with this, because it is the work of the Holy Spirit to make us holy. Now, it's not a license to sin. It doesn't mean you go, hey, party time, go out and do whatever I please. No, you can't. Because God is a father who loves his children. And because he loves his children, he will discipline his children. And if he has to bring a big heel down on our foot, he'll do it. We need to learn, if we want to gain victory over temptation and sin that war within us, we must humbly yield to the Lord and let his Holy Spirit transform us to make us more like Jesus. And sometimes it's not easy, and we're not able to do that on our own. Sometimes we need to have people around us praying for us. Sometimes we need deliverance. And that's why the Lord gave the gift of deliverance to the church. But it is the work of the Holy Spirit, and He will do it. But it is better that we are willing to work with Him and focus on the truth that we have been justified. We have peace with God. We have access into God's grace, and we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. I noticed recently at my house, boys wind me up something shocking on a daily basis, and trust me, I know I'm never going to reach sinless perfection. See why I have foster wains? You never reach sinless perfection. And I've noticed recently at home, and it winds me up, and I want to kill them. When I confront one of the boys about why they did this, why did you do that? Why did you do this or that, or whatever it is, the initial answer, and oh, just winds me up, that I get is, because I can. Really irritating. I think, I could just stick a knife in you because I can. So, not that I ever will for the purpose of the recording. I love the boys very much. But I hate it when I say, well, why did you do that? Because I can. Because I can. Even if I'm asked. You see, it works both ways for them. It's a win-win situation for them. If it's something bad they've done, why do you do that? Because I can. Then they come to me and say to me, Taddy, is there any chance you could lend us a tenner? And I said, but sure, you've got your pocket money. Why would I do that? Because you can. You can't win. Because you can. Because you can. Because you can. It would make a brilliant, brilliant advertising campaign for absolutely everything and anything. It's a fantastically valid verbal justification of absolutely any action or anything whatsoever. It's incredible. Perhaps born-again Christians, perhaps we could benefit from such a campaign if done in conjunction with the doctrine of the justification of the sinner through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, by grace alone. Because you can. Because you can. Because you can. I'll explain. Read, please, Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, and we're reading the first 14 verses. Paul writes, what shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? Now let me explain what's going on here. Paul is saying there's always grace. There's grace upon grace upon grace for the sinner who has faith in Jesus and in Jesus Christ alone. Remember, we're always sinners in sin-cursed bodies in a sin-cursed world, but we're declared righteous and justified in the eyes of God. And what God, Paul is telling is there's grace upon grace upon grace. And so he's putting up this argument and saying some people might think like this. What shall we say then? Shall we therefore continue in sin? If there's great grace for sinners, well, maybe we should just go out and sin as much as we possibly can, because the more we sin, the more grace we're going to get. And this is what is his argument. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that your old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. You know, a lot of people know, who know me, that for the past 35 years or so, I've worked with individuals and families experiencing drug and substance abuse related problems, and I provide a crisis intervention support service and personal counselling services for people who are faced with these issues. And over these years, over the many years that I've been doing this, I've seen various public health campaigns on the dangers associated with the misuse or the abuse of drugs. And one such was the American War on Drugs. Does anybody remember the big thing about War on Drugs? It was under the Reagan period. War on Drugs. And the campaign basically said, just say no. Do you remember? Just say no. Well, by the time it left America and got its way across the shuck to reach Great Britain, that's exactly what the people did. They just said no to the campaign and carried on taking illicit substances. It didn't work. But all of these campaigns that they tried haven't worked. I was reading a thing yesterday about somewhere in Belfast, some soup kitchen that go out and work with drug addicts. And it was incredible to hear just in a few hours of that one night how many young people had overdosed on spice and heroin and other things in the work. And this is happening everywhere. And it's because people are looking for life, but they're looking in dead places. Well, this war on drugs and Just Say No, it was a big campaign. And on Monday, I received a text message, and it was thanking me for the message that I preached last Sunday morning. And the text said this. I asked for permission to share this. The text said, justification by faith, the ability to say no, seems to be a wee bit stronger this morning. Not so much a case of no substance, hey kids, just say no to drugs, but more of a foundational, just so say no. See the difference? More of a foundational, just so say no. And as I said last week from the Apostle Paul's argument and from Martin Luther's words, simul justus et peccator, the person who has faith in Jesus is at the same time just and sinner. They are justified and declared righteous, while at the same time they carry about this body of death. They are at the same time sinners. Born again Christians will always battle against sin which wars in our flesh, but no matter how often we fall under its temptation and power, we will always be justified and righteous in God's sight. However, simul justus et peccator does not mean, and I've said this, does not mean we have a license to sin. God forbid, Paul says, certainly not. Rather, it means something even more wonderful. You see, we can easily in our flesh read into this and think, well, if I'm always just in God's sight, if I'm always declared righteous in God's sight, oh, to hell with this battle against sin. I'll just give in to it because it's not going to change my position or my condition before a holy God. And that would be then, shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? And Paul says, certainly not. Why would you? God has given you something more wonderful. It means, simul justus et peccator, being a sinner and being just and a sinner at the same time, is something wonderful, not something terrible. It means this, that born again Christians can now say no to sin. Why? Because we can. Because we can. Because we can. Those who put their faith in Jesus believe that he died for our sin, and we identify ourselves with him and his sacrifice on our behalf, to the point that Paul teaches it is as though we have died with Jesus. And the death that we died with Jesus is a death to the old self, the old sinful nature, which was at enmity with God, which hated God. The problem is, and I suppose in a sense, the problem is because we have killed, we've committed a murder in that sense, because we have killed the old self, we have crucified the flesh, we are doomed to carry this body of death with us until we are last set free. Do you remember what I've told you over a number of weeks? When someone murdered someone years ago, they had the person's dead body strapped to their back and they carried it until it decomposed and putrefied and they died. Well, we have crucified the flesh. We have put to death the old nature, and as a result, we're doomed to carry this with us until Christ sets us completely free. Now, I'm only using that as an example. The problem is, this body of death is with us until we are at last set free by Jesus. However, this body of death, our old sinful nature, is dead and has been crucified with Christ. If you can claim as simple, and I hate using that term, if you can believe simply that Paul says you have been justified through faith in Jesus, well then we have to accept that what he's telling us is that the old sinful nature is dead. It has been crucified with Christ. But Satan works to convince us that we are still slaves to the old nature and that we must obey its lusts and its demands. Satan tries to persuade the born-again Christian that we cannot resist sin, but we must yield to its lusts and demands, while on the other hand, the truth of the Word of God on the justification of the sinner through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, by grace alone, instructs the born-again Christian we can resist sin and temptation. Satan seeks to convince us we can't, but our justification through faith in Jesus Christ tells us, yes, we can, because we can, because we can, because we can. Christian, because you have been once and for all, it is done. Because you have been justified by faith, you are no longer a slave to sin. Stop believing its lies. Stop believing the lies of Satan. It comes and says to you, oh, but you can't. You have to give in. You have to give in. You have to do this. No, you don't. You are no longer under the reign and the dominion of Satan and sin. You have been set free. You have peace with God. You have access into God's grace, and you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, and with his help, you can overcome all sin and temptation. Even God says it in another through Paul's letters. No temptation common to man comes that he cannot find a way out, because God always provides. What happens is our flesh doesn't want to necessarily find that wee way out straight away, because we want to toy with sin. In God's eyes, this is the simple way to put it. In God's eyes, Christian, you are just, so say no. You are just, so say no, because you can. Because you can. Because you can. Reckon yourself, Paul puts it this way, reckon yourselves, therefore, dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I was nearly psychotic at one time. Some people think I still am. But I had the verse, reckon yourselves therefore dead to sin, typed out so many times and stuck all over my room in my house. Because I thought, if I could just grasp what this is saying to me, if I could just grasp, reckon yourself dead to sin, reckon yourself dead to sin. You know, I thought I could reach sinless perfection. I thought, you know, you wouldn't struggle with sin anymore. If you could really understand what this meant, you wouldn't struggle with sin anymore. I got that wrong. That wasn't what Paul was trying to say. What Paul is saying is, I have been crucified with Christ. I am no longer under the reign of Satan and sin. I am no longer a slave to sin. He says, therefore, have nothing to do with it. Consider yourself dead to sin, because you are just. So say no, because you can, because you can, because you can. And so, Christian, let me show you the unbeliever, for example. The unbeliever, the person who isn't a Christian, they can't reckon themselves dead to sin, because they are still slaves to sin. Without Jesus, without putting their trust in Jesus and in Jesus alone, they must obey the lusts and the demands of sin upon which the wrath of God is coming. And they have no choice. They can't say no to sin because they are slaves to sin. The unbeliever can't say no because they haven't died to sin, and therefore they remain under God's condemnation. But those who have faith in Jesus, those justified by faith in Jesus, are no longer slaves to sin. Just so say no, because you can, because you can, because you can. The justification of the sinner through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, by grace alone, tells those who own it that sin or death no longer has power over us. We have been set free. We have been raised to new life in Christ. And instead, Paul puts it this way, instead of presenting ourselves to sin as its servants, as we formerly did, instead of saying, here's my money, I'm going to spend it all on drugs. Here's my money, I'm going to the boogies. Here's my money, I'm going to gamble. Here's my money, I'm going to do this. Or here's my arms and I'm going to use them to steal or punch somebody. Instead of doing all of the former things, instead of presenting our members, as he says, to sin as its servants, we can now freely offer ourselves to the Lord for his service and for his glory. Sin and death no longer have dominion over us. Of course, we're going to face temptations, and very often we'll fall into sin because we carry this body of death around with us in our sin-cursed bodies in this sin-cursed world. But God's word still proclaims, and I hope that we're a people who put God's word first. God's word still proclaims that those who have faith in Jesus, the born-again Christian, is just. So say no to sin, because you can, because you can, because you can. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you again for your word. Lord, it's hard for us at times to really grasp what is being said. We can intellectually understand it, but to make it real, to make it, Lord God, tangible, to make it very much a part of us and something that we can take a hold of and hold on to, we need the Holy Spirit to reveal this to us. Thank you, Father, that those who know and love Jesus, those who have put their faith in him and in him alone, are justified and declared righteous by you. That we are no longer slaves to sin. We are no longer, Lord God, under the dominion of sin and death. We do not have to cave in to its lusts and its demands, because we're no longer slaves. Father, in the name of Jesus, will you help us to understand the truth that we are just so we can say no to sin, because we can, because we can, because we can, because the Holy Spirit dwells within us and he is the one who helps us. Lord, this morning I know every one of us face sin and temptation, and every one of us fall, Lord God, on a daily basis. But thank you, Lord, that that doesn't change your view of us. You love us. Please, Father, help us to offer ourselves, to present our members to you as instruments of righteousness, to be used by you for your glory. And may the Holy Spirit of the living God who lives in us transform us to make us more like Jesus. We ask it, Lord, please, in his name. Amen.